Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I have come to admire greatly a man who is in the forefront of that war in the United States Senate. He is Senator Ron Johnson. He represents the people of the state of Wisconsin in the Senate and has been doing so now with considerable distinction, including in his role as the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He's also a member of the Committee on Foreign Relations. And in both of these capacities, he's played an incredibly important role on several topics that we'll be talking about with him today. Senator Johnson, welcome back. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Good morning, Frank. You can be assured it's a mutual admiration society here. I've been listening to you for a long time and learning a lot from you, so certainly appreciate your efforts.
Thank you. Well, let me start with Iran. You played an incredibly important role in the fulminations, I guess is a better way to describe it really than a debate about the deal that President Obama struck with Iran. I call it the Obama bomb deal. You were trying to have it considered as it should have been, as a treaty. You subsequently also tried to make sure that the Senate didn't fall prey to this idea that the president had been complying with the alternative, the Corker-Cardin bill. Talk a little bit about the process as it worked out and where you think we go from here on Iran.
Our greatest strategic failure there was that we didn't spend a lot of time driving home the point that President Obama, in his arrogance, was just treating something so important, so consequential, as a mere executive agreement, requiring absolutely no input from the American people through their elected representatives. This, for my mind, certainly was a treaty. Now, we did get a vote on my amendment that would have deemed it a treaty, but that, you know, the amendment was called up almost without notice. It failed immediately. Unfortunately, not every Republican even voted to deem this a treaty, which really did surprise me. Senator Corker is trying to get at least some congressional involvement in this deal, and he succeeded. But the problem is, the only involvement we could have was this vote of disapproval that the Democrats would have agreed if it was such a bad deal that we would have removed President Obama's waiver authority under congressionally backed sanctions. I realize that's complex and convoluted, and that was my point. We needed to provide clarity to this, and unfortunately, the only thing President Obama and Democrats would agree to was something incredibly convoluted and very weak. And let's face it, President Obama did not even comply with the deal that he signed just a few months before that to turn over all the parts, all the side deals, all the annexes. So we never did get the full information. It's bad enough with what we know.
Indeed. And Senator, the difficulty that it seems to me has now been compounded by the way this thing played out is that the president is now talking about climate change agreements in the UN and in Paris. He's talking about perhaps some kind of cyber agreement with the Chinese. I have the feeling that the Senate isn't going to be allowed to be a quality control device on either of those as well. Should that be of concern to all of us, but not least you and your colleagues?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think when you have an executive that knows and recognizes no constitutional constraints, we've got a real problem in this country. And, of course, when you don't have a Senate that's willing to stand up for its rights on a bipartisan basis, I mean, that's what's shocking to me. This is, you know, they all said on the floor how important this deal is. This is the most important consequential vote of their careers, and yet they weren't willing to stand up and say it's so important that, you know, you really should go through the constitutional process of advice and consent and allow the American people, through their elected representatives, have a say as to whether or not this is a good deal or a bad deal. By the way, had that happened, this deal would not be moving forward.
Senator Johnson, let me turn to another topic that I know you've expressed concern about and that may well, again, have a similar kind of course to it, namely President Obama's announced decision to meet with Vladimir Putin next week on the margins of the UN General Assembly. You have been a close student of what Putin is up to. What do you expect will come of those conversations?
Well, I'm afraid what's going to happen is even more capitulation. And it has always concerned me how this administration just refuses to acknowledge reality. I mean, there's a reason this president called ISIS the JV team. He didn't want to have to deal with this. And it's always concerned me how this administration keeps talking about how they want to offer Vladimir Putin off-ramps, where I think any intelligent observer of his behavior would say he's not looking for off-ramps. He's biding his time looking for his next on-ramp. And now we know where his next on-ramps are. It's going to be in Syria, and it's going to be in Baghdad itself. So, Frank, what really surprises me is when you take a look at the combined economic power of the West, over $30 trillion in GDP versus Russia and Iran, less than $3 trillion. They are less than 10% in terms of our global economic strength, and yet look who's pushing who around. It's Iran and it's Russia whose influence is growing in the world, and because of President Obama's strategy of peace through withdrawal, we are becoming more and more weakened and less relevant, which is not a good thing for the world.
It certainly isn't. You add into the mix, as we'll be talking about in the course of the program, the ascendancy of China in parts of the world that are very much of interest to this country as well. And it's open season, it seems, for dangerous sorts and a problem for us, as you say. Senator Johnson, before we run out of time, let me just salute you for your leadership in the Homeland Security Committee of the Senate. On a matter near and dear to our hearts, as you know, we've talked about it before on the program, that is to say the vulnerability of our electric grid. You, of course, had an important hearing on this subject recently and subsequently moved out of the committee something called the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, and I wanted to thank you for that. Where do you think that stands now with respect to the national agenda and most especially the Senate's agenda?
The first thing we have to do is raise a profile so that people understand that this is a very real threat. You know, we not only had a hearing where we had Dr. Richard Garwin, somebody who worked with Enrico Fermi, and he referred to him as one of the only true geniuses he ever met, testified before our committee. But then I was talking to Secretary Moniz in the hearing on Iran, asking, because he's the Secretary of the Department of Energy, tasked with implementing the recommendations of the EMP Commission. And I was basically ridiculed for even raising the point. So, that's our problem is we do not have the public awareness. But what I'm trying to do is we're also working on a bill where, basically I want this bill to subcontract or be the general contract for providing the capacitors and installing the capacitors in the 200 to 700 very vulnerable transformers we need to just maintain and protect our basic electrical infrastructure. So I'm actually trying to work forward and figure a solution to this thing at the same time while I'm trying to raise the public awareness.
Well, both are absolutely required. We're doing our level best on the public awareness piece, but what you're doing to try to actually move things towards solutions is critically important. I'm very pleased to say that you have a utility up in Wisconsin that's taken the initiative in trying to protect some of those critical transformers in their inventory. But this is the kind of thing that I've got to believe, especially the more we see of the Iranian nuclear ambitions and learn about their desire and capabilities to threaten the grid, to say nothing of Russia, China, North Korea, and others, that your colleagues will resonate to. It's really just a question of do we get to that point in time? And as I say, your leadership on all of these matters, Senator Ron Johnson, is deeply appreciated. Do you have a sense of timing on the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act as a sort of first step? It's an opportunity, of course, to be teaching our American citizenry about this problem, but also to get something done.
Well, my hope is we can just report that out of the Senate and have nobody object to it so we can merit with the House bill and get this signed into law. But, from my standpoint, we do need to, everybody needs to understand that there's two threats here. It's a high-altitude nuclear blast. It'd be an EMP effect, but you also have geomagnetic disturbances. Both of these are threats. And here's the good news, Frank, is this is testimony from Dr. Richard Garwin. He said for about $100,000 per transformer, we can protect these things from both threats. Now, as we've looked into this, I've heard estimates could be as much as $500,000 per transformer, but that's still 70 to 350 million with an M. You don't even hear, federal government projects in millions anymore. They're all billions. So this is something that would be reasonably priced and that go a long way toward really making our electrical grid survivable in the event of either of those threats.
And as you understand so well, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, the costs to the country of failing to take these steps, should one or the other of these things eventuate, to say nothing of physical sabotage or cyber attack, we would find that money very, very minimal indeed. Sir, we have to let you go, I know. Thank you very much for your time today and for your leadership on all of these issues in the United States Senate. Keep it up, and I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Dr. Derek Scissors joins us. We'll talk about China right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.